Hey, this is Mike Swanson of Wall Street Window. I got a really special guest with me today. I'm speaking with Olivier Tischendorf, who is a trader based in Germany, and he's got a blog, tischendorf.com. I've got a link to it right below this website, but he's always got interesting things he writes on his blog about trading and about specific trading ideas he's got. So it's something I look at, and I've interviewed him several times of past years. How you doing?
Great. It's always great fun talking to you. Great interviews we did.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been a while. That's really my fault. I've just haven't been doing as many interviews lately, but I'm hoping to pick up the pace here and do that.
Busy buying gold.
I've been for the past 6 weeks or so. Yeah. Two years ago, I was buying stocks in Europe, but I did sell them and move into gold and commodities. What have you been doing lately in the market? I know how the market is. Sometimes it makes you do lots of trades because it's you see lots of opportunities, and at other times when it's best to kind of be cautious, you always kind of have to adapt to what the market is doing. So I'm kind of curious what you're really involved in now of trading.
Interesting question, because before we started the interview, we were talking about my latest post on my website and about this Machiavelli who talked about adapting, and your question is really spot on. I've adapted in a way that's really easy. I've reduced my overall exposure because I don't know if the markets are gonna top here or not. I think they're gonna keep grinding higher, but we're odds are very high that we're in a late stage bull market. I'm talking about S&P 500, tech stocks, etc. So I've prepared a quote I want to read out about the late stage bull markets.
Oh, sure.
It's from Paul Tudor Jones, a very famous trader. Here's the quote: While I am a staunch advocate of higher education, there is no training, classroom, or otherwise that can prepare for trading the last third of a move, whether it's the end of a bull market or the end of a bear market. I think that's spot on, because what you typically see at the end of bull markets is increased volatility and also increased volume. A perfect example would be Plug Power. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that one, PLUG.
Sure.
And what you can clearly see there is volatility expansion, and it's a volume blow off top, in my opinion, because this is blow off volume top, very difficult. So
sure.
What he says is basically there's no rules how to trade that, and that means you got to be cautious. So back to your question, there's a lot of opportunities during blow off tops, during late stage bull markets, but I tend to be cautious and reduce risk by reducing my overall exposure. So that means I'm basically 50-60% invested, and that's my way of reducing risk.
Yeah, I've got the same, when it comes to the U.S. stock market, the same sort of feeling. I'm worried that we are in a later stage of the bull market, and I find it very, very difficult to figure out what the next move is going to be on the short-term basis. It seems to be getting harder, for me at least, to figure out exactly where the market is going, and I really lost interest in the U.S. stock market, partly as a result of that, but also because it's gone up for so long. But I've seen some warning signs where sectors aren't all participating as much as they used to, and it seems to be fewer sectors leaving the market. But that could be something. I'm not sure if that's temporary or see more time.
I tend to disagree. I think that, I mean, overall, I agree. This is a dangerous market. It's very, it's a relentless grind higher. So it's difficult to find entries. But if you find proper entries, it's rewarding. So what I'm seeing here is the semiconductor, everything semiconductor related, I believe, is going to be the next sector that will help drive the market go higher. That is, if that actually happens. But if it happens, I think this is the sector, semiconductor index, that will drive prices higher.
It just broke out to a new 52-week high.
Pun?
Oh, it's at a new 52-week. It broke out today.
Yeah, and it's one that hasn't really, really participated. I mean, look at Intel, etc. These are stocks that are looking good because they're not overextended. There's moving average expansion starting. They're starting the move just from the moving average 200. This is not overextended, so that makes me believe that yeah, it's I see the market going higher still.
Well, to do it, something like this needs to go up, because some of the stocks that were leading in January and February no longer are.
That's true. That's true. Leadership, leader stocks, leading stocks have been very, very difficult to trade. So I don't know if I've talked about that in our previous interviews, but one of my, favorite topics is pattern pressure. So if you have a good entry where you have good overall pattern pressure, which implies that you don't just jump in when something is really overextended, then you really put odds in your favor, and that's all you can do, and then you let the trade work out. And
yeah, for the people listening, though, the sectors I'm thinking of that were doing well and now aren't so much are like the biotech sector and some of Cramer's monster momentum stocks, he called them, the Yelp and Facebook and Twitters and so forth. But if you talk about like your trading tactics and the pattern, pressure pattern, what's an example of a trade that kind of fits that, or a recent trade you've done?
I hate talking about my trades, but MXWL would be a very good example for that one. You want me to go through my entry rationale and
yeah, sure. That would be. I'll put a chart of it below the interview that people can learn from that.
Yeah, actually, people can go to my Twitter feed and then see the chart I posted at the time. I'm becoming more and more a fan of Twitter, and I made it I promised myself to, if I were to start a Twitter thing, that I would provide additional value. That is, those who follow me on Twitter get some additional value that I don't provide on my website. So it's kind of incentive to follow me on Twitter. So what I've been doing in, I think, October, November, December, I was very bullish on hydrogenics and fuel cell didn't work out for me. I got stopped out, and then the real move started when I was already out of the stock. But that's the let's say the fundamental background, or the story stock potential background. That means I was doing a lot of research in that specific to that sector, and Maxwell Technologies, they're doing super capacitors or ultra capacitors, which is I'm not a technical guy, but it's either gonna be a combination with battery technologies or replacing battery technologies. So basically, it's energy storage related. So that's what people are going crazy for these days, and grid stability also is that's also part of what they do. So that was the only stock, or one of the few stocks that hadn't gone up at that point in time. And I was monitoring the stock, and then the stock was setting up in mid-February. And what you had there was on the 20th or 21st of February, I don't remember exactly, there was earnings. And then the stock should have gone, I mean, shot higher and should have been shooting higher. And actually, it you can see there's a gap down, and there's a candle with a long tail testing the $8 level. I don't know if you have the chart in front of you.
I'm looking at it.
And this was the signal that this could be a potential shakeout. And then lo and behold, the stock, 1, 2, 3, 4, let's say four or five days later, it gapped higher, and then on above average volume and broke the $10 level, which is also part of which was also the neckline of an inverted head and shoulders pattern. And then I bought the next day. On the next day, if you zoom in on an intraday chart, you can see that it put in a very small gap down, slightly below $10, and there you have all this fundamental research I did beforehand, the shakeout, and what is typical for bull markets is markets open lower, and then they grind higher during the day. So which is the exact opposite of bear markets. In bear markets, stocks gap higher and then get sold during the day. I mean, I got lucky with that one. I admit that. But sometimes you just get lucky. And again, this one shot up, I mean, basically 50% in what, a few days?
Yeah.
And whenever you have a stock where you enter and then the stock shoots higher and then there's monster volume, this is a stock you have to hold on as long as possible. I mean, doesn't mean holding on to it until eternity, but you know, let's say give it 2 or 3 months and see if there's another thrusting move. My assumption here is that we are seeing a tight flag, a high pole, tight flag pattern, and this is I see the stock. I mean, I don't want to pump or something like that. This is definitely not my style. But this stock has really huge potential in terms of story stock. The story stock potential is really huge. There's rumors that Elon Musk and Tesla might be interested in buying the company. I have no idea if that's going to happen or not, but something has changed. This is a stock to closely monitor. I'm done with my with my thoughts on that one.
Yeah, sure. Well, are there right now? Are there any particular sectors or stocks that have really caught your eye for what they're doing and have, you know, you're very focused on right now?
Well, I don't want to mention specific or single stocks, but what I'm trying to do is really paying attention to asymmetric risk-reward situations. That means let's go back to Maxwell, Maxwell Technologies, that's the company name. You see the pattern pressure there, right? You have the trigger. Even somebody who didn't know anything about the company could have traded that stock by simply running above average volume scans, technical scans, right? And this is, you know, if you go to my public list, you can access my public list through my website very easily. I have a chart of IBB, the biotech ETF, and I annotated the chart in August, mid-August last year, 2013, And at that time, people were already saying, oh, it's too extended, parabolic top, blah, 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 etc. That's not true. And the analysis of these people was wrong, because for a parabolic move to end, you have to wait until the parabola breaks. That means you have to either see a gap down, or you have to see monster volume, as in blow-off volume type of volume. And that was clearly not the case in August. And frankly, I think biotech goes higher. It's getting, leadership is getting thinner, but there are biotech stocks that are setting up still. So that would be one area. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm talking too much. Semiconductors. See semiconductor stocks setting up right now. They're starting to pop up in my scans.
Well, that's the key. I really think, you know, if people want to trade the market, they need to be in the hottest sectors, because at this point, when you're late in the game, or potentially late in the game of a bull market, you know, the lows were five years ago now. You've got to not just, I think, say, oh, I'm going to invest in S&P 500. You got to really focus on the right sectors and individual stocks, it seems to me.
Yeah, that's key, what you said at the end, focusing on individual stocks. I think Mark Minervini talks about, a famous trader, market wizard guy. He talks about focusing on individual stocks and not focusing on the indices. And I think that's spot on. You know, people look at the S&P 500 or the biotech index, and they say, oh, this is overextended, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, if you find a stock that is part of that sector where you can apply sound risk management, that is, if you buy a break out of a sound base with a lot of pattern pressure, you can go for it. You know, I mean, it's gonna develop a life of its own, and then if it doesn't work, you let yourself stop out, and that's it.
Yeah, I remember in 2000, the market, you know, topped out in the spring, March, April, and it was a horrible bear market afterwards. But that summer, there were biotech stocks and airline stocks that broke out and went up just like these ones you're showing.
Can I read out another quote regarding biotech? That's very important in my opinion, because biotech stocks are basically concept stocks. A concept stock is something where you cannot really, you know, go through a balance sheet and then say, okay, the stock is worth XYZ, this is the potential. So basically, you cannot put a price target on it. It's you know, fantasy. It's they find the cure, or they are gonna put, you know, talking about Maxwell, they're gonna put ultra capacitors in every car or whatever, you know, this kind of story stocks, what I call story stocks. And a biotech stock, as a general rule, has to be considered a concept stock. So it's, the quote is from Joe Vidich, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. He was interviewed in this hedge fund Market Wizards book, the most recent book from Jack Schwager. Here's the quote. As an equity trader, I learned the short selling lessons relatively early. There is no high for a concept stock. It is always better to be long before they have already moved a lot than to try to figure out where to go short. So my point is, people want a short parabolic moves, but I don't think that's a good idea. You have to wait for the break.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think I've done shorting in the past, and I think, you know, I'm not interested in shorting today, but I think the thing to do is you wait for a break and then a rally back up, you know, a failed rally.
Exactly.
You never expect a short at the top.
Exactly. And I think it's really dangerous. I mean, look at Plug, you know, people shorted at 5 or 6. I don't know if the company is worth it or it's going to go bankrupt or not. Nobody cares. The stock went to 11. You know, if you're short at 6 and it goes to 11, you're bankrupt. And
that's right.
And then that's it. And you're out of the game. And that's something you don't want to let happen. We didn't talk about gold stocks.
You want to talk about that last as we wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay. You want. Sure.
You want me to do more of the talking, or?
I'm bullish on gold. I bought in February. I think it's breaking out into a new bull market. But I think you got a different opinion.
Well, if you go to my public list, especially GDXJ, the Junior Gold Miners ETF, I annotated it back in February. And I'm quoting here, neutral in a few months, we will know more. No need to rush things at this point in time. You probably want to know why I wrote that. I think the number one reason is we have a situation where the moving average 200 is not rising, it's flatlining. So this is not the type of technical situation where you see explosive moves, and that's why the stocks came crashing back from. In the case of GDXJ, 45 to let's say 40 right now. So it's, again, the first quote about late stage bull markets, that applies to end of bear market as well. I agree with you that we're probably very close to the end of the bear market, but it's tricky. It's gonna shake out people. And I would really want to wait until there's a clear breakout into stage two, as Weinstein defines it. And this is not the case right now. We are still in a sideways trading range at best. And I'm not a bottom picker. I said that 6 months ago. It's too early. It's too early. I'm waiting.
From your analysis, what would it take to prove that to you, what would it take to see a breakout into a new bull market? What levels are you looking at,
a good rule of thumb is buying the first pullback towards a rising moving average 200. That's a good starting point. That means that if it's a strong bull market, it might not touch the moving average 200, and then you have to trade, you know, chart patterns. But you want a rising moving average 200. That just means that there's already momentum coming in, or the stock is showing decent momentum, and there's no momentum right now. It's just going up and down, shaking out people, luring them in, etc. It's not what I like to trade.
Okay, well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me and everyone else. We'll do a follow up interview in the future.
Yeah, I'll let you do more of the talking next time.
Well, I'm here to interview you, so it's good. Thanks for taking the time out today too.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Oh, that's good.